This is SG Pun, the Stargate Podcast.
Let's just get right into it. I guess we're here.
All right. Hey, good listeners. Welcome back to SG Fun, a Stargate podcast. Oh yeah, this show is about Stargate, but it's fun. It's fun though.
Well, thanks, Sarah. That's true, everybody. Sarah just got back. Her pockets are a little heavier.
Barely.
Good. So just a scotch. But I'm Tori, and yeah, you know, we're here. We're here talking about Stargate SG-1, and today on the docket, we've got a doozy of an episode. We got Season 5, Episode 18, The Warrior.
Oh, I thought it was called Invisibility Cloaks.
Wait.
Because as if they're like, there's a rally for the free Jaffa fighters, the freedom fighters. And a couple people show up in really conspicuous cloaks. And everyone's like, well, I don't know. I can't tell who they are. It's fine. It must be on the up and up. Like, they're so conspicuous that they're wearing the cloaks that it's just, they must be cloaks of invisibility. It's so silly.
Oh, yeah.
Braytac and Teal'c. Yeah.
Kind of like how Obi-Wan Kenobi in The New Hope he was wearing desert garb as a disguise ended up actually just being what Jedi's always wear, which is
if the Jedi's never wore that and instead they wore Jaffa gladiator costumes and then two of them were wearing cloaks and whispering.
Why they be all up in disguise? I mean, we'll talk about it.
But like, my point is, it's not a good disguise. Listen, we should have our hackles. We should be ready on the ready for infiltration.
Oh, I see. Yeah, you're right. Oh, they even ask him about it. Why are you worried about wayward Jaffa? No, not really.
No, because I can, much like George W. Bush, I can look into someone's eyes and see their soul.
I could just look into their eyes.
Like he said, Putin is a gem.
Well, hey, you know, no, that's good. I mean, I had episode 18, Braytac's new favorite son.
Oh, yeah, that's a tough one. I got the female.
The female?
Or it could just be called the female. I guess.
Well, close to that. I mean, I've got episode 18. Carter wins the biggest dick in space award.
during the part of the show that I, because of which I think it should be titled, it's a shoot off, which I have to explain. So it's not that good, but like a dance off in Zoolander, but it's a shoot off. It's a walk off. I mean, like a walk off in Zoolander or a dance off. Yeah. I wrote these stuck on a tarmac in a real tiny. In the back of a Sudoku book.
She's going to be completing puzzles as we record this podcast.
It's going to be awesome. As good as it could be. My other one is I got Victory or Death,
yeah.
Which is actually, I think, what's the title of this episode?
The Warrior.
Yeah, that's pretty good. I like Victory or Death better.
I mean, is it as good as quality Kelno reaming?
Nothing's as good as that.
my last one is episode 18, the NRA's favorite episode. I love this episode.
This is, I'm pretty tired because unlike what's his nose, the Cylon guy, the new favorite son of Braytac, the leader, who doesn't think there's shame in needing to sleep several hours, Vegas does.
Word.
And it's nighttime. I got home at nighttime.
It's okay. Nighttime, folks. All right. Well,
who wrote this? Who wrote this bitch?
Well, directed by Peter Delawise. It aired on April 12th, 2002. And well, so here's the thing: the teleplay is by Peter Delawise, but the story was written by a one Christopher Judge.
Really? Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. This is good because I like Christopher Judge. So I want to be like, awesome story. The teleplay involves some real dumb bullshit contradictory dialogue in several parts.
Which we're sure Christopher Judge had nothing to do with.
That's right.
Nothing to do with it all.
I blame Peter DeLuise.
Nice.
It's a good story idea.
Oh, sure. Sure. I mean, it's a big deal for Teal'c. It's part of, it's one of his biggest side plot, right?
And he had to write one if he wanted to be in it. And yet, was barely in it.
No. I mean, parts of him are in it. Like his glowing adoration, his love of Kool-Aid, and
his
lackluster capoeira. That's pretty much it.
Do you remember that time where it was decided, and you were part of deciding it, that the friend most likely to join a cult was you?
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah, I wrote in here that Teal'c is clearly the Tory of the group.
I'll take it. I'll take it. Yeah, that's all right. Great.
Should we talk about how we open up with this Cylon proselytizing against the
ghoul? Oh, well, the Cylon.
Oh, damn it. No, whose turn is it?
Well, it looks like I'm up for Japak Newell or whatever the hell it's called.
All right.
I've got to summarize this episode in 24 seconds.
I wish I had remembered the term of respect so I could say it to you.
I didn't write any of that down. Shit.
All right.
I think I'm ready. Hang on.
Well, yeah. Just what I got it.
Readier than the timer, folks.
Okay, go.
So, Cylon is the head of the Rebel Jaffa. Teal'c is like, that's cool. He tries to get the SG-1 to help, and they're like, okay, we will. But then they go there, and he kind of sucks. He's a real dick. And apparently, he's got a jihad going on. So, but then Teal'c gets brainwashed, goes to get you, gets captured, but comes back. He knows something. Oh, it's a setup.
Sorry, I forgot to tell you you're running out of time because I was really invested in your...
Oh.
I'm sorry we're dead, but...
That felt pretty good.
I liked it. And in case anybody isn't a crossover Battlestar Galactica fan, the guy who... I wrote his name down, but kept just writing Cylon also. The guy... not Rachnor. That's the friend guy. Katana. Katano?
Yeah.
Katano, he's one of the Cylons. Oh, shit. That's a real spoiler, I guess. It's not actually... because he's not like in it and then you find out he's a Cylon. He shows up and he's like, hey, I'm one of the Cylons. Anyway, just in case you didn't know.
God, I really have to rewatch that show. I hardly remember him.
Anyway, so yeah, this guy is like proselytizing against the Go'uld. And as I wrote that, I was like, is that proselytizing? But it made sense as the episode goes on because I was like, it's kind of making himself the deity. This is sort of wild. But people in the crowd are like, which is funny that they're needing to be convinced now because they've already rebelled and are now on this planet of rebels, but they're like, hey, why should I sign up?
Yeah.
And I'm like, because you already did. And there's not a ride. You don't get to leave. Like, but they're like, what about food and weapons? And he's like, you'll have food in time. And I'm like, in time for what, bitch?
We'll
did you not need to eat?
We'll like, have food. Yeah.
And none of them was like, what about the ghoul babies? Like, we need those to keep us alive too.
Oh, it's never even brought up.
I know. That's what I'm saying.
Well, you're right. This is like a big timeshare conference. They're like, are you guys thinking about it? Well, come on down. We will have food. It'll come in a second, just after we're done.
Yeah. Or... oh, that's weird. The person who signed you up for this said there was going to be a breakfast.
Well, two, kind of a strange crowd. You know, it's there's some families there. The most women we've ever seen
on this
show at all. They're ready.
Man, I got some questions about. I might as well just ask them now, Tori.
Oh, okay.
So. The Ghouls are like, we need to create a race of incubator warriors. All right. why in the hell are the women like, like, why wouldn't they also be warriors? I feel like the ghoul don't even like have gender themselves.
Mm.
Like they don't seem to respond, treat each other. They don't. They're like, oh, you're in that body. I'm in this body. Doesn't matter because we're all ghouls in there. You know, like they don't seem, I feel like at least more and more like the episode, there doesn't seem to be.
No, they're woke as hell.
Any weird bullshit.
Yeah.
Gender dynamic. So I'm just like, why the fuck would they make the Jaffa like that?
Because I would only say because again, Jaffa, they used to be human, right?
Did they used to be human?
Oh,
is that what is there? Did they used to be human?
If there's any other, if it's the case that they weren't, that's an incredible coincidence that they're
okay,
so close.
But listen, just because the United States has ideas about who is a soldier and who isn't a soldier, you and I both know that we know man people who can't be in the military and woman people who can be in the military. So I'm just going to say again, it's fuck this whole situation.
You'd feel better if there was more women Jaffa is what you're saying.
There are women Jaffa. They're just not they're just not warriors. It's so true. To such a degree that this fuckface is like, oh, woman.
Oh.
I'm like, yeah, you remember Samantha Carter? You fucking met her already. I'm surprised you didn't look at her and go, well, that's a dude. I'm comfortable with it.
Yeah. We'll get into that scene.
All right.
Quick. But the thing is, as Sarah was saying, the invisibility cloaks that Teal'c and Braytac are wearing as they've come into this, for some reason, they feel they need to be in disguise.
Yeah, because they're like secretly sort of sussing it out. Like, is this motherfucker worthy of our time and attention? We don't want him to know we're here until we decide
Why?
He is.
Why? They probably know a bunch of those people.
I know. They're like, I don't know. They're like talent scouts or sporting scouts, and they're like, they want it to be, they're like secret shoppers.
Okay.
Or like secret restaurant critics.
Cool. All right. Well, but they look excited. So after credits, we're at the base where they're talking about it. Teal'c and Braytac are like, hey, look, this is what we've been waiting for.
Yeah. But why? So like Braytac, I did not see the movie Deliverance. So when McNeil's like, I don't know, this seems like it's like Deliverance and that's not good. Did you see the end of that? And I was like, no, I have no idea, which led me to be like, okay, I have no idea what they're asking for. Cause I feel like understanding what Braytac had even requested would be like, if you knew the movie Deliverance, you would know what was going on. And I didn't. So I didn't.
Well, yeah. I mean, it seems like basically that they want to ally with them because Teal'c's like, well, I have no one's left. Tok'ra, they're scattered. Tolan's dead. You know, your best friends, Fuckwad, Thor. Like, this is the new thing, which I kind of get.
And then because all of those friends have gone away, I think McNeil's in a real low self-esteem place because he's like, if this guy's coming to us, he must be pretty desperate, right?
Yeah.
And I would be like, McNeil, don't say that. That's ridiculous. Like, SG-1 and the SGC have kicked all kinds of ghouled ass.
Yeah. Oh, as we'll find out. But I mean, yeah, but they've been talking about this forever. They've been talking about getting Rebel Jaffa on the tide forever. Everyone's like being like super critical of it. Carter, Jack, mm-hmm. Daniel, they're like, we don't know, yeah. Teal'c. We thought you'd be the leader. Like,
yeah,
why are
they all being so weird about it? Like, he's like, I have a job. Like,
it's how with many you.
Like, it's beyond full time already. Like,
oh, yeah, they work more than 40 hours a week, right? All of them.
I know. When is he supposed to also be a leader? I mean, I guess he apparently does. He just has to do some serious Kelner Reaming quality, but doesn't have to sleep for several hours a day. But there is a bed in his terrible little room.
Well,
in case maybe he just wants to think.
Well, they're like, OK, well, so who is this dude? And he's like, well, he was a Jaffa of Imhotep.
Right. Imhotep, a backwater. From a backwater planet.
So they burn this guy.
It's really something. But like Braytac is pretty tense for good reason. He's like, listen, you got to help. And Daddy's like, Jesus Christ, settle down, dude. I already ordered food and supplies. And I'm like, okay, well, were you going to tell Braytac that?
Yeah, yeah. He's about to have an embolism.
And when did you order food and supplies? Because Braytac is right now in the room in front of you making that request. And I didn't see you go anywhere. Did you write a little note and slip it to like an intern or whatever?
No, they've been ready. They've been ready to do this. They're just a little cut off because this guy Kitano, they're like, who the hell is this guy? And he's like, and Tilk's just like, no, you'll see, old man. You'll see. It's gonna be great.
But Braytac is like, okay, that's cool. Thanks for food and supplies. We need projectile weapons.
They seem to have worked pretty well, General Daddy.
I know. And then General Daddy's like, I don't know about that. That's going to take, and Teal's like, well, can we have some projectile weapons? Like whatever number you think we should have, can we have less? Fewer?
Whatever you think makes sense.
And so then they're going to take these supplies through the gate. It's SG-1 and Braytac. And Braytac is saying to McNeil, oh, dude, by the way, some of these Jaffa, and specifically to McNeil, like everyone hasn't battled the Jaffa. Like Teal'c hasn't battled the Jaffa. And okay, whatever. But he's like, oh, by the way, some of these Jaffa, you've battled them before. And they have long memories. And I'm like, yeah. Is that supposed to be a warning? That's one of the lines I thought was so fucking stupid because I was just like, they know that they were the bad guys.
I just put it down to being Braytac. He says stupid shit like that all the time. it's like, why would you say, just like, why would you say that? And I think O'Neill has the perfect response.
He's like, well, I don't.
Yeah. It's just like, what do you want me to say?
Yeah, what's the warning? You're gonna get jumped, dude.
It's just brazen. It's like, all right, old man, you know.
I know. And so we get to the Free Jaffa planet. Yay. And I think that although I've seen these episodes and I don't really remember them a lot of the time, part of me was like, all right, one of these fuckers is a traitor. I can't remember which fucking one. Mm. And so we meet Rachnor.
Oh, yeah.
Again, I think we know him already.
Mm-hmm. From the Teal'c torture episode.
That's right. And so I'm like, yeah, I don't know. We'll see. I don't know what the vibe is here. It turns out the vibe is fine. And I owed Rachnor an apology by the end of the episode. Dude, talk about like looking a gift horse in the mouth. They tell them about the weapons they brought. And they're like, oh. All right. Yeah, it's just no. We love it. It's well, we oh, like it's good. It's no, thank you.
Thanks. Yeah.
What we had wanted was weapons. No, real ones, true weapons. But you brought this, and I swear to God, like the ability of them to not just be like, all right, well, fuck you.
No, yeah, like immediately. Well, no, I mean, I don't know, like O'Neill. Like, he kind of does that. He's been sort of, like, giving little fuck yous the entire episode. O'Neill's the shit in this episode. I love him.
He's
like,
he's
dropping
great this
shit,
episode.
And he's just like, oh, hey, guys. Hey,
I know,
everybody.
He's being super silly, because he's like, I don't know if this is a good idea. I don't know if this is a bad idea.
He could be doing that, yeah, to, like, just make Teal'c mad.
He's kind of annoyed that Teal'c's been besting up to Braytac.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I feel like we could have just brought them like long cattle prods. Like they just like things that shoot electricity. And they think the projectile weapons are stupid. And I don't really know why. Cause the Zats are pretty good, but.
Well, I think O'Neill says the exact right thing.
What's he say?
When they're doing the gun thing, he's like, these are for ceremonial purpose. These are for intimidation. That's what these are good. That's why you want them. That's why you want them. These are for war. They're to kill people. So yeah. it's sort of like showing the divide because they keep repeating over and over in this episode about how we do things differently. And it's like this like difference of philosophy.
But the way they say it is sort of like, don't ask us to do what you want us to do because we do things our way. And I'm like, that's projecting because you seem to want everyone to do things your way.
Yeah.
But it's sort of like, yeah, you wouldn't want to bring a staff weapon to a gunfight, but I think you could bring a gun to a Zat fight, you know?
Which they've done, which they've shown over and over and again.
Yeah. So I just, the chip on the shoulder is Bananarama. I just...
Well, so Rachnor's like, all right, come on, everybody, let's go in. And they see a big group of them doing some kata. you know?
Oh, I know. I was like, there's some like capoeira going on here. And then they said, like it was called something else.
Well, yeah, it was some sort of thing that Imhotep had his Jaffa learn. Well, yeah, you know, and they're all just kind of hanging out, watching this, you know, watching a couple dudes do it. Teal'c's in fucking heaven.
Yeah, they're watching a couple dudes spar, and Braytak is not just annoying to humans. He goes up, and nobody's asked him for shit, no. Doesn't introduce himself. He just starts giving unsolicited advice about how to fight. And he's like, you know, you're actually trying too hard. I don't know. He says you're overcommitting. And I'm like, that doesn't sound like a fight coach. It sounds like an acting coach, right? Is that even? It's just like, what? And then
yeah, not Abraham has heard that a lot in his lifetime. Like, you're trying too hard.
Yeah, yeah, but not on this particular chef. Yeah, so Ragnar's like, no. We get taught to do things differently here. Kitano teaches us to go for it like we're trying to die, basically. It's like some Klingon shit. But and Braytak doesn't like it. And like they're like, what? Like, you don't care if you live or die. I don't know about that. And I'm like, this is bullshit. This is a bullshit difference that doesn't exist. There's no way that Jaffa fighting for Goulds aren't explicitly made, excuse me for saying, but bred and trained to like when they come back and they lost and they didn't die trying not to lose, they get killed. So oh, it's yeah. This thing where Braytak, this legendary like fighting trainer, is like, oh my God, I'm aghast. I can't believe that is extreme.
Yeah. 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 O'Neill's weirded out by it, which that sort of makes sense.
Yeah, that makes a lot
more sense. Yeah, it's not like Braytak would be surprised by anything like that.
No. Somebody says something about Zapakna, right? Did somebody say something about Zapakna's forces? Did I just hear what I wanted to hear? I was like, does he have forces?
Some of them came from him, right? They've got like six different ghoul forces amongst their now rebel rank.
Oh, right? So Zapakna's dead.
No.
Okay, great. Okay, good. Phew. That's my favorite ghoul. Which is weird because I could not stand him the first episode he's on. It's like, I don't look at his dumb, smug face.
Well, after, you know, a bit of like watching this duel, O'Neill saves a guy, you know, he gets in there. He puts his hands on all this stuff too. Pragmatic Neil. A horn sounds, Kitano's coming, and yeah, finds his soapbox. It's waiting for him, literally. And I love this because he's like, welcome, friends. He does honor the gang with their deeds because they've done like, they've killed like six ghouls.
Yeah, they're actually, he's like, what's up? He's like, I'm going to hail you guys as holding the record basically for System Lord murders.
Yeah.
But why'd you bring us such piece of shit weapons? And yeah. I'm like, okay. So I know that the Gate Gang has some zats, but most of what they have done in defeating Goulds and other baddies has been not baddies, but baddies. And it has been with like projectile earth weapons.
Yeah, they're like, shit. Yeah.
And so if you're saying that their weapons are inferior, but they hold the record in kicking the shit out of Goulds, I guess you're just openly admitting that they're better warriors than you. That's a wild thing for this motherfucker to say. And I don't buy it.
Yeah, no, it's strange. It's really strange. And then this whole thing where they're like, all right, well, let's do a shoot off. Right now. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. And so some dude shoots the zat. There's a huge log, listen, can I shoot? No, actually I have gone to a shooting range. I did much better than this motherfucker who's like shooting a very still giant.
It's quite large.
Tree trunk.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he with just kind of a broad weapon, and he hits it twice.
Yeah. Misses and once. Yeah.
And he's the one who's good enough that they're like, yeah, this guy's going to make you look stupid.
You hit that log 2 out of 3 times. It's amazing.
Right. And so Carter gets up there with the guns they brought.
Wait. I'm sorry. The female?
I'm sorry. Ugh, the female. Ugh. But somehow she can shoot really well anyway. And I did like McNeil going like, yeah, that Carter is one of the best shooters. Blah, 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 blah.
Well, it's then, not just him. It's Teal'c as well. Teal'c is like,
did Teal'c speak up too?
Yeah. Good. He's like, him. You idiots. And then, you know, Neil's like, yeah, okay. That log. Hey, you in the skirt.
I know. So,
hey, and move it around. And the dude does the most lackadaisical push of all time.
I know.
Barely moving.
And he's like, how about more? And what's so funny is, so you think that she's, I don't know. I thought she was going to be doing one shot at a time, but she just takes this, like, she just Tommy guns this target in half.
Yeah.
I mean, pretty cool. And then McNeil's like, show him what you can do with one bullet. And she shoots the rope in half, mm-hmm, which is very cool. Mm-hmm, loved it. Mm-hmm. It was very cool. I mean, guns are bad, but that was fun.
It's hard to come out of this being like, I'm like, man, I want to shoot him. Man, I want to go to the range.
I know.
Shit, and,
but
man.
We probably aren't allowed for good reason to shoot those guns. Or yeah. We shouldn't be. So, I mean, I don't know why not. It looks great. Everyone should have one. Everyone should have one. I have a question at this point. I'm like, wait a minute. Where the fuck is Teal'c using a staff weapon? Because it's always like, oh, Teal'c uses a staff weapon because that's what he's comfortable and trained in. But McNeil is just like, it's just not as good of a weapon. Let's demonstrate how it's not. I would have liked to see Teal'c shoot the staff weapon. Is he better at it than this guy? Because like what I'm hearing is it's just like, kind of fancy and for show, but really not as good. It's like, why does it's almost like it's just part of his, because it's part of his costume, but he should have a zat, or they should combine the technology of why hasn't this happened? If they're going to carry these goddamn staffs around, why don't they load it up with zat technology?
No, they do. Yeah. No. One side is the staff firebolt and the other side is the zat. So they have a dual-sided.
Like kind of like a bayonet situation.
Hells yeah.
Shoots and it stabs.
Well, no. Teal'c uses Zat quite a bit. Like, I would almost say it's almost like he uses more Zat than staff now in like
good.
The last
okay,
couple
that's
seasons.
Good.
Because, yeah, you're right. Because O'Neill like says it very, very succinctly. And then also dunks on the entire congregation. He's like, we've used these weapons in pretty much all of our skirmishes, even the ones you were in.
Yeah, and you know.
It's awesome.
You remember losing to these, right? You've been shot by this.
Oh, it's so good.
And so what's crazy, this, they kind of make fun of this a little bit at one point, but like the whole group of Jaffa that are there, once they see how good the gun is, They're basically like, huzzah, you know, yeah. I'm just like, that's not how I would act.
Well, O'Neill's weirded out by it too. He's like, they love to do that shit, right?
Yeah, they do cheer a lot. And without a leader, there's no cheerleader going like, huzzah, you guys, huzzah. It's yeah,
just,
yeah,
well,
here we go.
They're free. They're free, Sarah. They're just excited, you know?
Yeah.
They're just their first taste of freedom.
Teal'c gets into a bit of a pronoun problem with McNeil.
Yeah.
And he can't decide if he's a you or if it's a you or a we when talking about SG-1.
Well, yeah, that's fucked
gang.
Up. Like, what the hell, man?
And they're like, and then some, one of them, I don't know, just fuck it. They're also like high and mighty, but they're like, I'm sorry. Like, I'm sorry, McNeil. Do you want us, the Jaffa, to change our ways to your ways? Is that what you want? And I love that McNeil's just sort of like, I mean, if it's not too much trouble.
Yeah.
That'd be great. And then Kitano is like, oh, this is, he's got the huzzah spirit. Like, he's like, huzzah, huzzah, huzzah. Tomorrow, let's bond. We're going to go into battle together against, I don't know, is it Yuz? You is bringing a mothership.
Nirti, some Nirti Jaffa.
Oh, yeah, Nirti. We're going to fight some Nirti Jaffa, and you're going to come. And I was like, no. The SGC? They brought you guns and food and shit, Band-Aids. They're not even allowed to go fight with you. This is so stupid. But I guess they're like, oh, okay. And I'm like, I don't, that is not part of this mission. I don't even know why they're still there hanging out and talking. They're like, here's your guns. Fuck you if you don't want to use them. Bye. Teal'c knows how.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, they're like, yeah, Teal'c's probably going to stay here. He can handle this. Like, we have probably more important things to do.
Yeah. Teal'c is on personal leave.
Yeah.
And never visits his wife.
She's not in here. I don't think she's not part of this congregation. I don't think
not. I don't even know what her deal is, because isn't her new husband died, right?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
And so Teal'c's her only husband now, but also he doesn't visit them.
No.
He's like, oh good. Your only other, my competition's dead. I'll see you when I see ya.
Well, so we also learned that that one of their ways, other ways, is that they can challenge, anyone can challenge the leader.
That's right. You know, I will just say there's a fun line. McNeil gets all the good lines here.
Yeah.
When he says something and I think Katana's like, wow, you really speak your mind. He's like, that's what I don't say very much. Yuck, yuck, yuck. I love that about this show, though.
Well, so yeah, so he's like, all right, well, if you guys are going to come with us, great. Well, we're going to do it in the morning. Teal'c has told me you guys need a bunch of sleep or something.
It's totally fine.
It's
I wouldn't
totally
be ashamed. Don't be embarrassed.
Yeah.
Don't be embarrassed.
Don't be embarrassed. Yeah, yeah.
No, you should sleep. Like, when do you start? Do you start now?
Well, now we know it's not just Braytac. It's not just Braytac who does all this passive-aggressive bullshit.
God, so awful. And at this point, I'm like, wait, is Teal'c joining this group? Is he going to stay with the SG-1? Like, and he's being told, like, pick friends or brothers, right?
Well, yeah, Ragnar's like really pushing him.
Yeah.
Because I guess he hasn't been asked to join yet. He's like, he hasn't asked me yet. So I'm just hanging out. I'm having a good time among the accoutrements of my culture. You know, we're just hanging out here. It's great. I'm having a good time. But it's edging closer and closer. I've never seen Teal'c smile as much.
I ever. Have. He smiled a lot when he was brainwashed before. Because I was like, I recognize that smile.
My God.
So our gate gang who is still grounded in like their world and their reality, they're having a fireside chat. You know, we talk about the problem with like dying, blah, blah, blah. Basically, I was like, this conversation and this, I'm like, yeah, is this a cult? And then I was, because they're like, this, I got a problem with how everyone's willing to die for this guy. And I'm like, is that all revolutions? Is that all militaries? Like, I'm really curious about. I don't know. I would love to know tactical differences. And I'm not just like throughout history of forming an army and forming a cult. And I would love to know like the psychological sort of like and salesmanship overlap of those two things. So I don't know. This episode's a real thinker.
Yeah. I like it because it's like O'Neill's like the counterpoint of it or just the audience.
But really, he's joined a system where just because, okay, it's not one specific human being that he's like, I'm going to die for that motherfucker. But he spent his entire adult life in this career that he's basically signed up. Like, if you tell me to go somewhere and die, it does not even, I will do it.
Mm-hmm. You do that for daddy.
He'd die for daddy.
That's interesting because Teal'c. He has said several times in the past, he's like, I don't work for the U.S. government. I work for daddy.
Yeah.
Like that's where, like, that's how he knows how to put loyalty.
Sure. That's not what his contract says.
All right. Well, we cut to the next day where we're in mid battle.
Katana is unhinged. We're in mid battle where it's like what, 6-7 guys shooting on one side and like 4 guys shooting on the other side, and that's the whole battle.
Yeah, it's not much. The nerdy people, they have a thing that they're carrying. Everyone else is up in position, shooting from a good hiding spot, good cover. Kitano rolls out. And what did I write? Messianic figure.
Yeah, that's funny. I wrote Kitano crazy a bit.
Yeah.
Or like
sure.
trying to be a god, trying to show people I'm your deity now, motherfucker. Like you Ooh. People are so easy to get to believe in a god. Well, I'll prove these aren't, but I'm going to make myself your new god because you're going to need one. You're going to miss it.
Well, apparently.
And I'm just waiting. So like he like kind of mesmerizes the Jaffa from the other side. Nobody shoots him, which is wild. And Kitano kind of memorizes the Jaffa from the other side who comes to meet him midway through the field. And that guy's like, these are good ideas. And I'm very quickly radicalized. So I will. Yeah. Sounds good. And I'm just waiting for one of the Jaffa over shoulders to fucking shoot Kitano. Like, what is this guy? This is what I, cause like, when have the Jaffa ever been this easy to convince to be like, stop doing it? Mm-hmm. But I don't really know the state of Nyr T's military. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, where is Nyr T?
I mean, it's a little chaotic over there, I think.
Yeah,
probably. You know.
And is it like very good being a Jaffa for Nyr T versus, I don't know.
Well, and plus also I think maybe it's just subtextually that Kitano, I mean, what he really is, so it still has a bit of power in that regard, whether the Jaffa subconsciously, you know, or, you know, sort of respond to it in a way. Because he's not just a Jaffa.
Right. And so Teal'c and McNeil have this conversation where McNeil's like, you are such a dumb motherfucker for always talking to the Scientologists. And
if I had a nickel.
And he walks away and says to Carter, he's starting to believe this dumb motherfucker about the Dianetics. Mm-hmm. And she's like, well, I mean, maybe he should. And I'm like, holy shit. Is Carter also going to join a cult?
Wait, what did she say? She was like, he's got presents.
Well, she said, McNeil actually says, I think Teal'c's starting to buy this guy's act. And Carter says, what act? Or like, do you really think it's an act, basically? Mm-hmm. And she might as well be like, what grandiosity? He seems like a perfectly normal military leader to me. They got some booty. They got some loot from this battle.
Weapons grade Naquita.
Yeah. So they're going to keep, he makes it clear, Kitano, we're going to keep all of the good weapons. Also your shitty weapons. You can have all the Naquita. So I don't know. When this episode wraps up, did we score some Naquita?
Not all the Naquita, just some. He's like, I got plans for the other stuff. But also, we don't need it. We have an asteroid full of Naquita in Earth's orbit.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that?
Well, which goes back to my first question when he's like, do you guys, he was like, we'll bond in battle tomorrow and you guys can have a share of the loot. And I'm like, why the fuck are you giving them anything? You're their armament charity case.
Yeah. Yeah. We are not the same. I'm sorry.
They don't want not you yet. To get, you know what? And also they're not mercenaries.
Yeah.
It's an insane script for some of the lines.
Well, Kitano, he's got so many plans. He's like, all right, well, we just did this, but we're not resting. There's a mutiny happening right now on one of you's ships. They love
a mothership.
Yeah. They're gonna fight for me and they're gonna bring the ship here like tomorrow or something.
And I was immediately like, how do you know? Because that would be a tremendously good ruse to come here and kill all of you. Yeah. And I'm not far off. I'm not far off.
Well, O'Neill feels the same way. He's like, what? Does that sound like a good plan?
And meanwhile, there's a couple Jaffa being sent through the gate.
Oh, my God. Listen,
Americans hate suicide missions.
Oh, my God. Suicide bombers. weirdest thing about it is that fucking Braytak and Teal'c, they literally stand next to Kitano as he's doing it.
Yeah, you know what else is weird? I was kind of trying to suss out. I'm like, I feel like what I'm hearing, am I even hearing this needs to be a suicide mission? Because what he just said prior to saying, okay, have fun on your suicide mission, bye, bye, bye. I was like, wait, what? Why is this a suicide mission? Like, it doesn't seem like it has to be a suicide mission. By the way, though, SG-1 has gone on a lot of like suicide missions that they came back from. They're like, I mean, sometimes it's, you know, hyperbole. They're like, it's a suicide mission.
Well, I don't know. I felt it made me feel weird. It made me. I mean,
it should.
I was
it does.
Like,
I'm not saying
Braytak, what the fuck are you doing? I like, this is fucked. This we're not gonna hang out with Braytak. Braytak's done, right? Braytak never shows up in the show again, right?
Like, right, because he's pro suicide.
Nor Christopher Judge. Yeah. Like they're done, right? Like, this is fucked.
Yeah, I think it's one thing to be like, okay, it's the moment. We're gonna win or lose the battle. And if we lose, Earth dies. Somebody's gonna have to go on a one-way trip. Then just sort of like, oh yeah, I don't know how the mission's gonna turn out. We didn't try anything else, but I've groomed all of these people to be willing and excited to go on suicide missions. So that's what's happening now. No, it is terrible and disgusting.
Well, and you're right. There's a bunch of other people going. They're like, it's just a last resort. It's a last resort thing. He's like, you know, because they can't learn about this planet. So if you guys fuck up,
So that's so not
actually,
a definite,
you know what? That's pretty good, actually.
It's not like a definite suicide mission, right? It's
yeah,
just
you
sort
know
of
what?
Like,
that's good strategy, actually. I'm changing my tune, actually. Because we'll find out later if you get caught. Well, I guess it wasn't. Well, we'll talk about that later.
So basically, they've got like a cyanide capsule in their teeth. The thing is, don't get caught.
Don't get caught. Victory or death.
Victory or death. I mean, McNeil's acting like that doesn't happen all the time.
Man.
Yeah.
Well,
it's not that shocking.
I mean, I guess so. But you know what? I think you actually hit it on the head at the very beginning, was that Americans certainly don't like it. Like, mm-hmm. there's this whole history about it, right?
Yeah.
I think that's what the writers are going for, right?
Oh, sure.
Oh, definitely, actually. Yeah.
But, you know, like, I bet CIA operatives are like, if I get caught, I'm going to, you know, kill myself. Do you think spies?
I suppose so.
We see it in movies where like our heroes are on the side of like, we can't afford to have you get caught. And the stakes are really high that way. It just feels more collaborative in those situations. Instead of a cult leader like having brainwashed somebody into
doing that. It's the collab is important. the group consensus changes
with a volunteer. Yeah.
Oh man. Well, I mean, you are right in a sense. O'Neill shouldn't be so surprised about it, because he is like, because it's like he's like at this point he's like, no, this is over.
No, I mean, like, and I agree with you, actually. I think McNeil is the only one who's like, there's something fucked up going on with Kitano. And he's just like, he's like, this is bad. We're going to have to do something about this motherfucker. And then he's like, okay, bye. I just sent you off. Probably going to die. Good for you. I think he's just like, okay, Jesus fucking Christ. I've had enough of this. Is nobody else seeing what's happening here?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, and it doesn't even need the twists later. Like, O'Neill doesn't need Kitano to be something different. Like no. He doesn't need it at all. Like, it just, he can be,
to be
as
honest,
simple as what he is.
There was a point where I was like, that guy is a Gould, right? But like, I would say, I think it would have been more interesting if he wasn't.
Yeah. No, yeah. I thought the same thing.
It's kind of the evil of recreating yourself as a deity being taken on by like a Jaffa who's gotten too much power is a much harder enemy to defeat than somebody it turns out was posing as a Gould. That kills the idea pretty fast.
Well, yeah, then he just becomes the big bad.
Yeah,
he's just evil.
Yeah. So I don't know. I guess we don't have time to make the whole show about this issue, which is why he definitely could not just be a Jaffa.
Right. Well, they go and yeah, O'Neill's like not having any of it. And, but now he's like, but he doesn't rest. He's like, we got another one. We got another thing happening. And Teal'c is going in this time now. Just mission after mission.
McNeil and Kitano clash pretty hard after this. And they have a little thing where they're like, I don't know, like Kitano's sort of like the queen bee meanest girl on the playground. Mm-mm. And McNeil's like, yeah, but Teal'c is my best friend.
Yeah.
So McNeil's like, Teal'c, you're going to come with me, right?
Oh, yeah.
And Kitano's like, Teal'c, let's go. And Teal'c goes with Kitano.
Oh, my God.
And I just like, I've seen this. It's brainwash face. He's got brainwash.
Yeah. What the hell? Yeah. Best friend, no longer.
And also, can I just say Teal'c kind of quits his job a lot?
Oh, just all the time.
Yeah. All the time. Because once again, he's basically quitting SG-1 right now. Because he's like, well, you'll reconsider this later, right? Right, Jack? And he's like, yeah, I don't know about that.
Yes. I'm
pretty grossed out right now.
Hard line.
Because, yes. Okay. The bigger weird discussion aside, 100%, if you're like vibing with this new leader and you're like, this guy's the shit, and you watch him give a suicide mission pep talk to some motherfucker who's literally willing to dive headfirst through the Chapa eye to his death for why? Yeah, immediate no. I'm immediately out of the club. 100%. It's immediately a problem. I immediately have to go talk to my actual friends from the SGC and be like, what the fuck are we going to do? And I think Braytag still likes him. This changes my whole relationship with Braytag, and I think I'm going to cry.
Oh, well, Braytag even is still like, O'Neill, you can change your mind. You're going to change your mind, buddy? You know, we could really... It's like, no, dude.
I know. So, like, read the room. He's so bad about it.
Well, not just that. He's like, hey, Teal'c, before you go, hey, and everybody, like, you know, you keep talking about, like, he summarizes all the stuff that Kitano does. So you just take your little Jaffa, you go against other Jaffa of other ghouls and take their stuff. What does that sound like? Is there anything different here?
Yeah, liked that call out because I was thinking the same thing, weren't you? I was
this
guy seems like a system lord.
Yeah, this sounds like Imhotep backwater ghoul to me.
Yeah, so Teal'c is even like, this is kind of what the fight with Jack is. Teal'c's like, I'm going to go on one of these missions too. And Jack's like, is that maybe because you'd like a natural leader who is a kind of started this whole thing out of your way? He's like, absolutely not. He's going to be my general, my second in command when he comes back.
Oh, yeah.
And Teal'c is, God, he's such a cult guy.
He gets caught up very easily.
He does.
I know the feeling.
He dives through and gets captured. So here's the thing. It's what is it? Victory or death?
Yeah.
Yeah. Teal'c's like not that into it because he's like, oh yeah, I got captured and I'm still alive. So that's how that goes. And Yu is like, I'll give you your life and then the suspense, the conversation ends.
Yeah. He's like, I know something that you'll want to know. And that it's my ship. It's coming. It's going to do all that.
And I guess like here's what you have to do is go back and tell everybody that go back and kill Imhotep. It's weird that he let Teal'c go, right? Because I think he could have killed Imhotep anyway.
Yeah, he gave them a running start. None of that makes sense. I don't think.
Yeah, that happens a lot. But the Gate Gang though, they're like, fuck this. We're leaving. We're not going to recommend being allies. But I think they left all their like shit that they brought them.
Okay. Well,
so they weren't like going to do a takesies backsies.
No.
We'll get in a big fight with them over it.
Keep
you
want
to get in a big fight with people
too.
You just gave all your weapons to.
Well, yeah. Braytag's like, put aside our petty differences. And he's like, no. And he's like, Kitano, he's like, I'm holding you personally responsible for Teal'c. If anything happens to him.
BT Dubs, I don't think they're petty differences. I wouldn't call being pro or anti suicide bomb, like sending people to do suicide missions, petty.
Man, but Braytag does apparently. Braytag's like, it's all good.
You're beast with Braytag.
Always. It always is.
Fuck that guy. Anyways, so Teal'c comes through the gate as SG-1's trying to dial out. There's a call incoming and it's Teal'c, and he is running, and he runs super fast past his friends. And McNeil's like, thanks for the update. And he starts saying, you know, there's a
deceiver.
There's a deceiver. And then they show, is it Raynak, whatever. He makes an uh-oh face. And I'm like, oh, so it is him.
Oh.
He's the mole, right? It's, I guess, like, it's such a silly thing to think. It's so obvious who it is. But I don't know.
Well, so he was like, yeah, you know, this was all a ruse in the sense that it's like, they know all about the Rebel Jaffa. They know this happens. They know there's deserters. And so they've decided, let's just let them all congregate for a little bit of time. And then just take them out in one fell swoop.
Because what's happening is Teal'c is challenging Kitano.
Ooh.
And saying, like, you're the bullshit. Mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. So we don't, he hasn't been revealed yet. So Teal'c and Kitano are fighting. And I'm watching Teal'c start to get his ass kicked. And I was like, yeah, in what world would Backwater Imhotep have a better prime than Apop?
Oh, yeah.
I was like, this doesn't make any motherfucking sense.
Well, you didn't take into account that sweet slow-mo capoeira training.
That's a good point. Teal'c
didn't have that. So, I mean, True. Game over.
Well, also, Teal'c isn't trained to fight like he hopes he dies. Like, those motherfuckers are like Klingon fighting. Like, it's a good day to die shit.
Yeah. Teal'c likes to live. He likes to live life and fight another day. But yeah, he's getting his ass kicked here.
Yeah.
Until he's not.
Well, and then the guy whispers in his ears, you're going to be killed by me, your god, Imhotep. Mm-hmm. And I was so annoyed because I was like, OMG, I was going to say he was a Gould. And I didn't. I was like, nah, that's probably not true. So I didn't write it down.
Oh, I did it worse. I wrote down this. I thought he might be a Gould, but I was wrong. I put. So I did worse. Yeah.
You know what I've realized, though? We don't have to be this fucking honest on this podcast. We can go back and like touch our notes up and be like, this is where I'm going to say I figured out what was going on.
Oh, I do it occasionally. Don't worry.
I'm gonna start.
We both know exactly what's going on at all times from the
I was like,
point of view.
Sorry, Rayok or Raynok, could be you, could be an N. I don't know. I was like, sorry, I thought it was you. I said, I'm obviously just a bad judge of character. The end, because that is Imhotep, and Teal'c impales him, and the light literally goes out of his eyes.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. Goodbye, Backwaters.
Braytag steps in, or Raynok, somebody steps in to give like a rousing, like, don't worry, guys. He was bullshit, but the message isn't. Stick around.
It was probably Ragnar. Well, and they start to do that, but then the ship comes and start to get attacked.
And they dial out to another place that they can go, like a safe house planet, like Braytag.
Well, yeah. Well, yeah. And Teal'c joined him now. He won. He's now the leader. But Teal'c's like, not about that. And he's just like, but you got to just come with us for like a sec. You're going to die here. Just fall. He doesn't try to do any leader stuff. You know, he tries to just be like, you know, we're here to help you. Come with us into the gate. You know, he doesn't take up the mantle of cult leader.
Isn't it a good thing that you can't like Star 69? The DHD. and be like, where'd they go? I don't know, just star 69 it.
They all go through the gate. Well, that's it. It just ends like that.
And so do my notes, because I was like, surely with all the buffer time I left, I'll be home in time to take a look at these notes. I'm going to fuck around on my phone for the rest of this.
Did you at least solve some Sudoku?
Yes and no. Anywho's olds. Were you comforted by this shit?
Yeah, ultimately I was. Mostly because of O'Neill. Just because I think O'Neill had a lot of funny lines. I just like how MacGyver did the character in this one. I just really enjoyed all of his decisions. I just really liked them. Everything else.
I loved all that.
The capoeira was all right, I suppose.
Yeah, it could have been better.
And Rick Worthy, who was Kitano, was pretty awesome.
Yeah, I was excited to see that guy.
Like, that dude's like been in a ton of shit.
Yes, that's true.
Like TV.
Yeah, I've seen him in other sci-fi shows besides BSG.
What about you, Sam?
I was comforted for the same reasons as you. In fact, my enjoyment of the things that you mentioned overrides the many times. I was like, that person would never say that, which happened a lot. That doesn't make sense given all their stances they just told us. But the lines they gave McNeil, the way he delivered just everything he had to do. Yeah. It was nice. And I also liked seeing that actor. And I don't know. It was kind of funny to see Teal'c's brainwashed face again and be like, yeah.
There it is. It's shining.
That guy, that motherfucker's got to look out for that. And it makes sense. Look at how he was raised and groomed to be Prime. It's amazing. It is amazing that he saved them in the first episode and became part of the team. That's how quickly brainwashed he is. He was like, there's something, some kind of charisma about this Colonel O'Neill.
I mean, he does say that.
Yeah, fuck it. I'm going to follow him.
Yeah. He's got a flighty loyalty, flighty obsession. It's strong for a bit, but then one little crack in the armor, he's off to the next thing.
Totally. Do you have a... I don't yet, but I will. Do you have a yay, a nay, or maybe I'd be that guy? You're absolutely hate to be them. That would be the best person in the episode to be, or the like, yeah, I guess so. Pretty neutral on if I had to be this one.
Yeah, I do. They're not, I don't think they're great. My yay is Braytac, because I put down, he gets all the things and is never held accountable. My net is the Tauri, or as Kitano says it, the Tory.
oh yeah.
The Tory.
Your
name
is Tory. Your name shouldn't be being Tory. Tory.
No, it is the Tauri, because I guess they have to hang out with Braytac for more episodes. And then my met is you. And I was like, he didn't get killed by Teal'c's attack, but I guess he gained something. That doesn't really make much sense. I don't know.
I think he gained Imhotep being taken out.
Oh, okay. Yeah, there you go.
My yay/yahoo is McNeil.
No, okay. Yeah.
Because not only, he's morally correct throughout the episode, he's literally correct about all of his assessments throughout the episode, and he handles it with like whatever, fuckers, like, you can't see it, Jesus Christ. And then he said, see, I told you. And that's a great episode.
Yeah, and I told you so. Yeah,
that's a great episode. And my nah would probably be deciding if it's Imhotep or somebody who did a suicide mission for Imhotep. I mean, they're both dead, but one of them expected it. It's a tough one. This is a tough one. This is a tough one. You know, my net is going to be Teal'c.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Because Teal'c has, he can't just go home and relax and just go like, be like, hey, what's up to his friends. He has like a bunch of like work to do on himself now because he should feel like he has new information about himself. And, you know, he's probably pretty disappointed that the rebellion's not going as well as he hoped, which is how he got those blinders on in the first place, was he really wanted it to be going well. My meh. Yeah, I guess my meh is you. You know, he's surviving. Could be better, could be worse. I don't know why he didn't want to join forces with Imhotep. Maybe he thinks he's better than Imhotep.
Yeah, Imhotep probably would have followed him. I mean, it turns out that he's just sort of like a weaselly little Goa'uld, right? Like that's what you have to do when you're not up on your game. Like you got to like do weird shit like this.
Yeah, until you get like up on your game.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how I feel about it.
Okay. Man, yes, man. The more I watch the show, the more I really enjoy Richard Dean Anderson. Like he's a really good, just solid actor.
That's what's going to make this podcast real hard to do in the future.
Oh, yeah, I know.
All right. Do you want to know what we got next time?
Yeah, what do we got next week?
Season 5, episode 19, Menace.
Okay.
Written by Trekkie for Christ. On an alien planet, SG-1 discovers an inactive android is the only survivor of the destruction of her civilization. They bring her back to the SGC for study and manage to reactivate her. Things take a turn for the worse when she makes a replicator bug for Daniel.
For Daniel specifically?
I don't know. Dude, I didn't write it. This sounds awesome. This sounds much better. I will say, I didn't fucking want to watch the episode this time because I don't like any of this. But knowing, like taking notes and thinking about it, knowing we're going to talk about it, actually made the episode a lot better. Because like I said, I really did kind of make me think about some structures that exist and have existed in human societies and what are they like at their depths and their like formation and how are they similar to other structures? Ones we demonize, ones we don't demonize. I'm just very, that I liked it.
Well, and I think, and you thank Christopher Judge for that. Cause I think it seems like he was like, there's a lot of things that like is repeated throughout the episode that he was probably like, Peter, he's like, Peter, I want to talk about this, you know, it's all about like we do in like the way, different ways they do. I think, he was probably very aware of that, you know?
Yeah. And while there are always some like weird, that dialogue doesn't make sense for that person. If Peter DeLuise wrote it, I do appreciate that Christopher Judge was like, I want an episode written like this. And Peter's like, I'm super going to make it happen.
Nice.
And it's going to happen how you want because I'll write it. That's pretty cool. I don't know. Did that happen? I don't know. I just made that up that happened.
Well,
that's my takeaway.
No, he was listening to SG Fun. He's like, you know, it's true. Teal'c hasn't really had an episode yet. His side plot hasn't gone anywhere. We got
to
get back.
He time machined back to like to insert an episode.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Not to fix the whole show, just to this episode. Add an episode.
Well, sweet. Well, I can't wait for next week. Great.
Great.
Ooh, Comtria, ladies and gentlemen.
Comtria. You know what? Come try it going. If you go to Vegas and you think, you know what I'm too cool for? I am too motherfucking cool to go book dinner at the Excalibur to watch the Battle of the Knights or whatever the fuck it's called. You're wrong. You're not too cool for it.
No.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
Go to that.
Who is your knight?
Dragon.
The Dragon Knight?
Yeah.
Oh.
You've been to that? Have you been to that?
I've been to medieval times where you get a color, like, you know, it's like the Green Knight or like the Red Knight.
Okay, so this one, there's a whole bunch of knights, and there's like Romania and France, and you book yourself in Dragon because you're like, oh, it's right in the middle, and there's two seats left in the front. Hot damn. And you get there, and they're like, and you're like, huh, they're introducing all the, they haven't introduced my knight. They're introducing all the knights, and they're kind of talking about it. And then Merlin is like, so since you guys are evil, we're not going to practice your cheering. We're going to practice your booing.
Yeah.
So you'll know what you're supposed to do tonight. And so, yeah. So we got to boo like literally every other night. They'd come by us on horse. We'd be like, boo! Have fun.
Yeah, it's the best. Eat with your hands.
Yeah, eat with your hands. Have they have a frozen, a slushy Miami Vice with a fuck ton of whipped cream on it.
Nice.
Delicious and drunkifying. And it's all the way at the other end from where we stay. So I kind of walked that off by the time we got back. But you know what I haven't done? Come try a message for myself is the roller coaster at New York, New York.
Ah.
All right, that's it. That's my come try it. You got to do. Or if you live by medieval times, I haven't been there, but maybe it's as good. Probably not.
No, yeah, well, probably just a little less money, you know. But yeah. Those are great. Yeah, no one's too cool for that school. Mm-hmm. Hell no.
I loved it.
Nice. All right, welcome, Tria.
Okay. Are you ready for our final segment?
Yes.
Your host with Tori and Sarah.
Mm-hmm.
Tori, because it's the first one I grabbed, we are going to use the what has been kind of a subpar experience, but you never know. No wrong answers, adults only deck cards for better conversations.
Mm-hmm.
It's full of the least pressing, most important questions you never thought to ask. Are you ready for the question?
Yes.
Okay. Quick, pick a cooking show and make it sexier. Hurry.
What?
So I think what you want to do is you want to name a cooking show and talk about how you'd make that show sexy.
Oh, let's see. Hell's Kitchen.
God damn it.
Have some like dancing devils, right? Like the hell theme. They do some weird CGI shit in between commercials, but that's about it. They should be doing more. Like they should be having like, yeah, just some like dancing devils, you know, put Gordon Ramsay in some leather, you know, because it's Hell's Kitchen, right? Like that's the whole thing. But they just do weird, stupid shit, like to blow some soap suds onto a dish and it turns into like a fucking pitchfork. Like it's dumb.
They have like little like towel snap fights.
Huzzah! That's how I feel when I watch Hell's Kitchen. Okay. Sex it up. All right, that's done.
Yeah, I think. I was thinking about picking that too. So I'm going to go Gordon Ramsay. I'm going to go Kitchen Nightmares.
Mm.
And I'm going to say they could make it sexier by not just finding dead mice and toasters. Instead, they could also find people fornicating, I guess, all kinds of ways in the same space as where they're cooking food.
I mean, well, I think that happened in a couple episodes.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, to be honest, some of the shit I've seen on that in Bar Rescue, if you had the chef back there fingering somebody and then going, hang on a minute, and tossing a salad with his bare hands, it would be less disgusting and less likely to kill you than some of the fucking shit that I've seen.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, we've all seen. So yeah. Woo.
Well, the only reason I had anything pop up in my head is I watched a lot of Hell's Kitchen my mother.
Oh, well, we did. So we couldn't get reservations at Hell's Kitchen. But you know how like the Venetian's not big enough, so we made the Palazzo, and the wind isn't big enough, so we made Encore, and it's like whatever. And I don't think that's a good example of that. But the first example, there's now Ramsay's Kitchen.
Oh.
And we're like, I guess. And we go, and it is the same menu. It's like the Hell's Kitchen menu. It's the beef Wellington. Mm-hmm. It's the risotto. It's this toffee, sticky toffee.
Oh, well, how was it? Probably probably
great. It was so fucking good.
Yeah.
And like, as you know, you watch it so many times and you're just like, I really want that Beef Wellington. Like, I've never fucking had it. Where the fuck am I going to get a Beef Wellington? And is it going to be any good? Mm-hmm. It was so good. We had beef carpaccio and we did have the sticky toffee thing where at first you think, oh, it's too sweet. And then you're like, actually, it's not. It's really good. Mm. So, yeah. I guess come try that too if you feel like it. And if you're like, oh, I wanted to try it, but Hell's Kitchen's full, just go to Ramsay's Kitchen. I think it's the same. I mean, I haven't been to Hell's Kitchen, but judging by the food, I think it's the same thing. And the way it looked in there, I was like, yeah, this kind of looks like what I've seen on my TV.
Okay. Well, the one thing about Hell's Kitchen that I saw was that like every season, they're like, you're going to be the new, you win. You're going to be the new head chef at the new Hell's Kitchen Vegas. It's like, wait, how many are there?
I don't think it's always Hell's Kitchen. He has a ton of restaurants. Like, I think there was a season where did somebody win being the head chef of like Yardbird? Like, so he's different restaurants there.
They just kept being like Hell's Kitchen in Vegas. And I'm like, how many?
All right, listen up. New question out for you out there. We're seeking a new question for you to answer at verticalwateringhole @gmail.com. And that is, what's the deal with that?
Yeah.
Like, do you get to be the head chef for a year? And also, what's the point of being head chef at a restaurant that's never changing its menu?
I think they're just killing everybody is what they're doing. I think they're just throwing them into a chute, these winners.
Yeah. They're like, what we're really doing is we don't want anyone to challenge Chef Ramsay. So what we're doing is we're seeking out America's most promising and best chefs, and they're winning.
Getting rid of them.
And nobody ever sees them again.
They end up at Excalibur.
Yeah. So there's no real competition. Now he's, I mean, like that food was good.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
I didn't want to go because I was like, you know, I don't want to go. This is cheesy, but oh my God, I'm so glad I went.
Well, cool. Well, folks, you have your homework. You know what you got to tell us to do. You've learned a little more about us. And we just want to thank you for listening to this episode.
Yeah. Thank you.
You can listen to more episodes at our website, thesevensymbol.com, as well as any other pod streaming services. They're all on there.
And you can give us your money. Not very much of it, very little of it. You could give us $5 a month of your money, mostly because you like this and want this to keep happening and understand that we are just paying to do it. But also because sometimes we do get our shit extra together to go beyond. And we have actually recorded a bonus episode.
Oh, yeah.
Just because it's not out there yet doesn't mean it didn't happen. Have faith. That's something else you can do is you can go to Patreon and look us up and give us some of your money. That'd be awesome of you, by the way. Thanks. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. All right. Well, folks, thanks again for joining us at the Vertical Watering Hole.
Oh, my God. And thank you for the people who already did that. Thank you.
Watch out for cults. And
oh, my God. That's our new sign off. Watch out for cults.
Don't you go all teal on us.
You can say Holy Hannah.
Oh, okay.
If you want.
Holy Hannah.
Watch out for cults.
There's nothing physically wrong with them, really, something like